listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire broadcasting to you from Southern California in the United States. We're going to give you a prophetic update and analysis of the vaccination question and how the vaccination question interfaces with the global reset and the very near future for America, the European Union, Australia, New Zealand, and Germany, and many, many other nations globally. Now, the first thing I want to say right up front is that we need to understand with a clarity, and we need to understand in truth. You know, there's been an enormous amount of misinformation and disinformation generated by the handful of people who totally own and control the mass media, the social media platforms, and all kinds of communication systems. There's just a handful of people. In fact, there are about just 12 families that control the entire global economic system, the financial system, the military-industrial complex, the computer industry, and the internet, and we could go on and on and on. At the top of this proverbial pyramid of power are just 12 super wealthy international banking families. And you will never know the truth about the full extent of their wealth because it is disguised and hidden in propaganda. These people are not billionaires. And let me emphasize that. If you think that what the media has told you about the wealthiest individuals or families, and they always list the same people, you know, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and now, poof, it's Elon Musk of Tesla and other companies. And there's a bunch of guys and their families who basically consist of the global elite, the globalist elite. Now, remember this statistic. I wrote about it a lot in earlier books. Here's the data that you want to focus in on when you analyze anything. Just 1% of the world's population, just 1% of the world's population owns and controls 99% of the wealth and assets. Now, think about that for a moment. Just 1% of the population of planet Earth owns and controls all the rest of the 99%. 99% of the people are, in effect, serving under a disguised form of slavery to the 1%. And that 1% controls all the assets and wealth. They control 99% of the assets and wealth on planet Earth. You see how upside down it is? Now they go to great measures to hide that from you. So it's very hard to do substantive research, research that has credibility. And, you know, Jesus Christ said the words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Of course, first and foremost, Jesus Christ was talking about the spiritual truth of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, that would set you free. But Jesus Christ was also including all truth in this reality of our lives on earth. All truth will set us free. But lies, distortions, deceptions, will make us captives and slaves, and that's what's happening. Now, as many of you know, and I won't get into it, but I spent many years debating, being a regular commentator on the biggest cable news network in the world and on the biggest shows with the biggest hosts of that biggest cable news network in the world. And so I was mostly on camera as a debater, but I also saw what went on behind the scenes. And I especially, because I do this in all areas of life, I don't just pay attention to the spoken rules, and you do the same thing. You'll understand what I mean in a minute. You do the same thing in your life. I didn't just pay attention to the spoken rules, but I intentionally paid attention to the unspoken rules that were never verbally articulated, but basically a guest or a commentator or a guest expert debating other guests and commentating and debating some of the most powerful people in the world, financially especially and politically. You learn very quickly there are certain things you just can't touch. And if you do touch them, and if you think that you're going to reinvent the wheel and you happen to touch upon one of these hot-button subjects, don't pat yourself on the back because you just committed a suicide mission. You will never return to that show, to that host, or to that arena. It's a very fine line you have to walk. I remember a very well-known host who actually was from Britain, but he hosted a number of shows on this largest cable news network in the world. And I remember him asking me some questions. And I was thinking about this last night. It just kind of surfaced from my, you know, subconscious set of memories. And I remember him asking me a question about a particular institution. And that institution was the Federal Reserve System. Now, he did not ask me that question because he wanted to know the answer. He already knew the answer. It was a very sophisticated game of cat and mouse. That was a trial balloon that he was floating over to me. That was a test. I was being tested on national television, prime time, on one of the biggest cable news networks in the world. And I was being given a very subtle drive-by test. And he was trying to determine whether or not I would bite the bait and leap at the chance to expose the Federal Reserve System, or what I would do. You see, if I had leapt at the chance and, you know, came in with proverbial guns a-blazing, I'm talking in metaphors, of course, and if I had gone on camera with millions of people watching and then exposed the Federal Reserve, most likely, first of all, I wouldn't have gotten more than two or three sentences out, and we would have gone to a commercial break, or he would have interrupted or something. Believe me, I would not have been allowed to continue in that vein of thought. But he was testing me because they were testing me. And they wanted to know what I would do. And you see, if you're involved in any kind of warfare, whether it's spiritual warfare or psychological warfare or communications warfare or economic warfare or cultural warfare, the key principle is never to act on impulse, never to bite the bait, but to be in, for you to be in control of the situation, while at the same time making them think they're in control of the situation, when in fact the reality is you are in control of the information. And the key is to be strategic, is to think beyond the moment. It's to think about, well, what are the consequences, good and bad, if I do let it all out or if I hold back? What's the game being played here? Now, I didn't bite the bait. And that's not a cop-out. If you think that's a cop-out, then you have never been in the gladiator's arena. And that's exactly what it was, a gladiator's arena. Except that we were verbal gladiators. The key was that I strategically chose not to bite the bait. And by doing that, I was invited back countless, many more times. And in the long term, the door opened up for me to disclose all kinds of truth and expose all kinds of things and win all kinds of battlefields, if you will. None of that could have happened if I had jumped on debate. Okay, so let's apply these principles. What's the principle? The media that you watch, that your friends watch, that your family watches, that most people watch, what I'm talking about really right now, is the mainstream media, which is owned and controlled by just a handful of globalist elite corporations. And they dominate and control all the information, all the narratives. They decide what to expose as news. They decide what to censor or conceal. It's a rigged game. And the key is to be strategic. And by God's grace, I was able to do that. And because I was strategic in my answer, lots of other doors opened on this network that allowed me to say all kinds of things that the average person would never have an opportunity to say. I was given a very powerful platform, and I was given the opportunity to speak to millions of people. None of that would have happened if I just initially, jumped on it and devoured the bait. None of that would have happened. Okay, so now when we're talking about vaccinations, when we're talking about the vaccine, we have to research it based on acquiring truth and facts. The mainstream media, I mean, I'm talking about all of it. The mainstream media is in the business of propaganda. It's in the business of concealing the truth. It's in the business of censoring the truth. And it's in the business of promoting artificial, deceptive narratives that are designed to leave people in a state of demoralization, to leave people in a state of psychological chaos, to leave people in a state of disorientation. So that they're walking around in like a fog, and they can't make sense of the overload, of the overdose of information that's being poured into their minds intentionally by the mainstream media. So they don't know the facts regarding the vaccination, the vaccine, and how it interfaces with the global reset, etc. You have to have the truth. You have to have facts to make a decision. As I've said numerous times in the Paul McGuire Report, I am not a doctor. I don't give medical advice because I'm not a licensed physician. I can give you my opinion as a researcher who has been writing on many of these things. I've been writing on the subject of biological warfare and man-made diseases, et cetera, for 25 to 30 years. You can just look through my books and look at the copyright date. I've been on this for a long, long time. And so all that information is in my head. So when I began to research COVID and the vaccine, you know, I just didn't walk in with naivete. I didn't walk into the room with gullibility or stupidity, by the way. So every person is responsible to know the facts, and people who are leaders are even more responsible to know the facts and to disseminate factual information. Okay, so let me review with you just a few facts. First of all, we are being bombarded. We are in the middle of nothing less than a full-out spiritual deception propaganda war. We're in a 24/7 news cycle propaganda war. And the narrative that the mainstream media is pumping out there in cooperation with Dr. Fauci and others, the narrative that they're promoting is based on a total lie. So what we have is deception in the highest places of government, the highest places of corrupt media, the highest places of the United Nations system, and that means specifically the WHO, the World Health Organization, which has known since its inception what has been really going on. And then the other thing we need to realize is that all the deception, all the non-truth that we're being bombarded with, all the lying narratives, all the deceit, all the lies that are barraging us, are doing so in a manner which is in a direct attack against our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. So, you know, what we're really talking about here is not just a vaccination or a vaccine or the global reset or the cashless society. All of those things are vitally important, and vitally important for you to know the facts regarding them. But the foundation of this corrupted pyramid is that this is an egregious and, I believe, illegal assault on the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights of the United States of America. And we need to remember as citizens that we are guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights things like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. So what that means is that we are entitled in the United States of America, because theoretically, it's supposed to be a completely different system than, let's say, communist Russia or communist China or communist Cuba, etc. Our legal freedoms guarantee us a free press, freedom of the press, And that means that the so-called news organizations, the news networks, the social media networks, television, radio, the entertainment industry, books, all forms of communication are supposed to come from the place of freedom of the press. They are not, by legal definition, supposed to be dominated or controlled by these 12 globalist elite families that control the United States, they control the media, they control the world. We're supposed to have a free press, and that entails many things. We should have the right to turn on the news and see fair and honest competition between the different cable news networks and between the different news media organizations. There is a serious warning going on. When you channel surf on television, and every time you hit a particular major cable news network and the bigger shows on these cable news networks, they should be offering up diverse opinions. They should be debating the facts that are being claimed. Because the reality is that although it's being censored by the major media, by the mainstream media, by all kinds of corporations that own and control the media, they are actively censoring the different opinions, the different viewpoints. They are suppressing the fact that there are medical experts, world-renowned physicians and medical scientists and researchers that have very, very strong and opposing perspectives regarding the coronavirus and the vaccination. They are not at all in agreement, and entire nations are not in agreement. But you would never know that. If all you're doing is watching the idiot box, and all you're doing is watching the idiots on the idiot box, that their target demographic is the dumbed down percentage of the population. If all you're doing is consuming stupidity because you're turned on by the multi-million dollar sets and the you know, attractive way that the on-camera television hosts present themselves, the way they dress, et cetera, they subconsciously they come off as if they're somewhat better than you, or they try to convince you through their razzle-dazzle approach that they're superior to you, because they're sitting in that chair. They're not superior to you. Not when they spew out disinformation, lies, and propaganda day after day, night after night. So we have freedom of the press, which in order for our nation to function and to be around in the future, we have to protect freedom of the press with everything in us. If we allow freedom of the press to continue to free fall and deteriorate, our nation will literally collapse in a matter of weeks without freedom of the press. Freedom of the religion. That's not just freedom to preach the gospel, although that's very important. But freedom of religion entails the full spectrum of a biblical worldview. So the idea is that if we're talking about the vaccine, the vaccination, the global reset, et cetera, all those narratives are bumping into and colliding into our constitutional right of freedom of religion. Because you see, a biblical worldview is in opposition not to sound medical research, not to medical facts and scientific facts. A biblical worldview is not in opposition to the truth or the facts. A biblical worldview demands that when you're discussing these issues like vaccinations, vaccines, etc., a biblical worldview demands that your narrative consists of the truth, that your facts are factual, that your data and content is correct. Because you see, there are huge truths in the Bible. Now, if you're going to your stereotypical evangelical or so-called Bible-believing church, I'm not talking about all of them, I'm not talking about all of the pastors, but an extremely dangerous and an extremely large percentage of the so-called evangelical church and the so-called Bible-believing church has either compromised their mission or turned a blind eye regarding highly important facts that are related to the vaccination, the coronavirus, the alleged consequences of the vaccination and the virus, and the connection between what they're doing to human beings on a genetic level and what the Bible has to say about DNA. Now, if you're going to your stereotypical dumbed-down evangelical church or so-called Bible-believing church, you're probably on a spiritual diet at best of graham crackers and milk. And I don't even think it's that good because milk has at least some nutritional value. You are responsible for whether or not you go after the truth, whether or not you acquire the truth. You are responsible. Nobody else. You are. Ultimately, you can't blame your church or your pastor or whatever. You are responsible to know the truth that will set you free. If you think it's acceptable before God to turn off the switch in your brain and go into a dumbed-down zone of consciousness where you don't know anything about anything, you have rendered yourself, because God gifted you, the infinite personal living God of the universe, gifted you before the foundation of the world. He equipped you and gifted you to be here for such a time as this, because he has a direct plan, a direct mission for your life. But that plan and mission of God for your life can only be released to the degree that you're operating on the truth, that you're operating on knowledge, which is true, because knowledge is power. And you must always remember, as I must always remember, that I cannot please the Lord, neither can you, and I cannot fulfill his mission, and you cannot fulfill his mission, unless we're standing on a firm foundation of truth, which only comes from a biblical worldview. It's to the degree that we are faithfully and with integrity standing on a platform or foundation of truth. It is to that degree that we are effective. It's to that degree that the spiritual warfare that is raging all around us becomes winnable. And it's then and only then that God is able to impart in us a revelation. I'm not talking about some self-indulgent, self-gratifying, and self-created dream or self-created vision. I'm not talking about the ministry of narcissism, where what you're doing is secretly done for ego gratification. I'm talking about when you decide to lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. And you can only do that when you're standing on a firm foundation of truth. So, every person who calls themselves a Christian should be a regular reader of God's Word, the Bible, and the whole thing, from Genesis to Revelation. And when you read, for example, Genesis, you see in the very first chapter and the second chapter of the book of Genesis that God Almighty, the biblical God, the Creator, capital C, that he was thoroughly acquainted with. And in fact, the Creator God, capital C, created and designed men and women's DNA and their genetic code. And he did so by creating mankind, male and female. He created them in his own image. And that means men and women, starting with Adam and Eve, were given the DNA of God. And from a theological standpoint, this is imperative to grasp, because one of the fundamental teachings of the Bible is that there is only one species in all creation. There is only one living thing in all of creation that can receive salvation and eternal life by faith. And that one creation that can receive eternal life by faith is what is called a man or a woman, because they are created in the image of God. And God clearly states that salvation or eternal life, being given a brand new glorified body, living for all eternity in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, is only granted to those people who are authentically and genetically men and women created in the image of God. Now, you're not off the hook just because your pastor didn't cover it, because the question needs to be asked, why are you going to a church where the pastor never covers biblical essentials? And you have to understand that God is very dogmatic on this issue of genetics, the genetic code, and DNA. In fact, God has placed the integrity of the DNA of men and women, human beings, God has placed the integrity of their DNA. And what determines the integrity of man's DNA? This, man's DNA, the DNA of a woman or a man, must be exactly the way God created it to be when he created the first man and woman in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. They were created in the image of God. And when Jesus Christ came as God's only begotten Son to take away the sins of the world, that offer of free salvation by grace or unmerited favor, that offer of eternal life, that offer to be joint heirs with Jesus, that offer of eternal life and immortality that option is only available to those that have 100% human DNA. Now, ask yourself the question, why does God in the book of Leviticus speak out strongly against men or women having sexual relations with animals, or are those creatures of the animal species? Why is it forbidden? Well, you're being overly simplistic and you're missing the bigger point if you falsely assume that God is just, he's just cracking the whip in this area out of purely legalistic reasons or out of purely moral reasons. Now, that's not to say that there are not clear moral reasons and clear spiritually legal reasons why God forbids men and women to mate with animals. That's absolutely true. But the bigger point is that God created men and women as human beings. Human beings are the highest order of creation that there is. Many Christians think that angels are higher level beings than humans. That's absolutely false. Angel, the highest level being in all of creation, of course, is God Himself, God Almighty. But under God Almighty, it is men and women created in the image of God, human beings, that are the highest level and the highest order of creation. Because all salvation is only available to men and women, human beings. Angels are way underneath men and women in terms of the hierarchy of God's priority. So anybody who thinks angels are higher level beings than mankind, you're wrong. Mankind is above all the angels. Mankind, men and women, are above all the animal kingdom, the fish, the birds, all that stuff. Entities of any kind are all beneath men and women and mankind. Because it's only mankind, men and women, created in the image of God, that have the propensity or the capacity to be saved and to rule and reign in eternity with God, the infinite personal living God of the universe. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, let's look at history, and let's look at a particular area in the Bible that deals specifically with DNA and genetics. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. You can spread this message far and wide and take advantage of the fact that the doors of opportunity are still open. So each of us needs to seize the time while those doors of opportunity for communication are still open. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So let's look at just one passage of countless passages in the Bible that deals with DNA or genetics. Now, the Bible doesn't use the specific term DNA or genetics, but the Bible uses other terms which clearly refer to DNA and genetics. So in Genesis chapter 6, let me just read it to you. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So right here, we read that men, and there that means mankind, men and women, began to multiply or reproduce on the face of the earth. And that is an obedience to God, because in Genesis, And in other places in the Bible, God continually says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, which means reproduce. Be fruitful and multiply. So Genesis 6, verse 1 says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply, reproduce, on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. They took wives for themselves of whom they chose. Okay, so now we're seeing that another entity besides men or mankind is introduced. God is highlighting the fact that that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born to them. Oh, okay. So they began to reproduce, and they reproduced both male human beings and female human beings. So daughters were born to them. Now it says that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. So the sons of God are a completely different category of being than men or mankind or daughters and wives. The sons of God are some other kind of entity. What they are is, in reality, fallen angels. And how do we know that? Well, when you look at the translation for the words that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that term, sons of God, comes from the word B'nai Elohim, which means the sons of the angels or the sons of the fallen angels. But it has to be fallen angels, because only fallen angels would break the law of God and mate with human women. God's angels would not do that. So when we read about the sons of God, it has to be fallen angels. It can't be God's angels. So the fallen angels are breaking the commandment of God genetically, and they're mating with human women. They're marrying human women. And then God issues a warning. So what this is telling us is the fact that the sons of God, the fallen angels, are mating with human women and producing the hybrid race called the Rephaim. And the Rephaim are a genetic hybrid that consists of both human female DNA and fallen angel DNA. And so God issues a warning, because this is a massive transgression in the eyes of God. And God says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. That's a warning. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. So one of the characteristics of this interspecies breeding hybrid, the Rephaim, a mixture of fallen angel DNA and human female DNA, one of their genetic characteristics is that they were physically like giants. And then it says that the sons of God, or the fallen angels, and here it could refer to the fallen angels, and also it could refer to the offspring of the fallen angels and human women. So it says, when the sons of God, or the sons of the fallen angels, came into the daughters of men, that was referring to sexual intercourse. And then, of course, the consequence of that is reproduction. And it says, and they bore children to them. Children to who? Human women are bearing children based on the insertion of fallen angel DNA into their wombs. And these giant beings were famous in the ancient world. Verse 5, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Okay, this refers to a number of things. The general global wickedness of mankind, the sin, the immorality, the violence, the cruelty. It's referring to all of that collectively, but it's also emphasizing, in terms of man's wickedness, the clear point of emphasis is sexual reproduction by fallen angels impregnating human women. That's like what pushes the human race over the line of God's judgment. So if we look back in the past and say, what caused the flood of Noah? Yes, it was the pervasive and generalized wickedness of mankind at the time. But the trigger that released the judgment and wrath of God upon the earth in the form of a global flood, that was in response to human women mating with fallen angels and producing a genetically corrupt or a DNA corruption race known as the Rephaim and then the Nephilim. So God, it says God was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Now, when God says he's going to destroy both man and beast, I believe that he's going to destroy every man and woman on planet earth with the flood and beast. I believe that includes animal beasts, and I believe God is referring to the fallen angels. Okay, so God, notice that if this was just about the evilness of men and women, then the flood judgment would have been just judging men and women. But this is about a corruption of the DNA of men and women, and then the corruption of the DNA of the fallen angels mating with human women. This is serious stuff in the eyes of God. And so when the flood judgment happens, notice that the flood judgment destroys every living thing on the earth. Every living man, every living woman, every living fish, animal, bird, all of creation is wiped out in the flood of Noah, with the exception of Noah and his wife and Noah and his sons' wives. They were considered righteous in the eyes of the Lord. And then two by two, animals from the animal kingdom were brought on board the ark for the purpose of reproduction. And Adam and his family were also brought on the ark for the purpose of reproduction, because after the flood subsides, one of the first things that God says to Noah and the sons and the families, God says, be fruitful and multiply. But before they could be fruitful and multiply, God had to wipe out on a planetary level the genetic and DNA corruption that happened with mankind and the fallen angels. And notice, and this is problematic for a lot of people because they don't study their Bible, there are many implications that infer and speak of the way that the fallen angels seem to be experimenting genetically with the animals, the birds, the fish, and men and women. They weren't just mating with human women. The fallen angels were experimenting in terms of reproduction with the animal species, birds, fish, etc., etc. You say, why? Well, that is what is going on right now with human DNA. So Noah builds the ark, all right? Now, what does all this mean? Well, here we are, and the vaccine and the COVID, we're not allowed to know really what the COVID virus is. And I don't think the vast majority of scientists and doctors and researchers actually know what the different components of the COVID virus is composed of. And then in terms of the vaccination, it's obviously a high level security secret regarding what the vaccination is composed of. But from the initial reports that have come out since the spread and usage of the vaccination, there are some medical researchers, some prominent physicians, some medical scientists who are suggesting that and raising the question regarding whether or not whatever this vaccination is composed of, they're asking the question, does the vaccine transform normal human DNA into some kind of non-human DNA? In other words, in all the monkey business, no pun intended, in the invention of the vaccination, and when they vaccinate people, there are medical researchers, scientists, and doctors who are asking the question, does taking or ingesting or getting a needle or whatever containing the vaccine, does that alter normal 100% human species DNA? And does it transform or alter human DNA into some form of non-human DNA? And then the question is, what form would that non-human DNA be? Is it animal? Is it something we've never seen before? Some of the things that some of the scientists and doctors are reporting upon is they are claiming and asking questions that they have examined the bodies in the blood of people who have taken the vaccine, and they have found substances and living organisms that are neither human or animal. It's like they were created by artificial intelligence. So is it true that see, because the DNA is the coding. DNA is the coding for a human being or an animal or a bird or whatever. And when they've operated on people or looked at the blood of people who have received the vaccination, they're asking the question, what is this transformation we're looking at? Because we're looking at living things inside a human being that are moving around and acting with a certain amount of primal intelligence, but they are, on further examination, they're not produced by human DNA or non-human DNA. It's some kind of DNA that comes from somewhere completely never seen before, which was the case of the fallen angels. Now, I'm not saying that getting the vaccine is a subversive way of getting fallen angel DNA. I'm not saying that. But what makes a person human is their DNA. And so the last time planet Earth had a global corruption of its DNA, that resulted in God pouring out judgment on the entire earth, which was the flood of Noah. Now, it seems, and you can answer the question, you need to do the research and homework for yourself, but it seems as if, at least in terms of raising the question, are we, in some respects, repeating the genetic transgression, the genetic sin of human beings mating with fallen angels right before the flood of Noah, which resulted in the judgment of God when God poured out his flood on all the earth and wiped all the animals, birds, and human beings out? I mean, this is the question that needs to be asked. Because let's delve deeper into that question. And I'm simply raising a question. Because we need to think this through, and we need to ask these questions, because guess what? The people that are financing this on a global level, they are transhumanists, which means they believe, and it's part of their fundamental belief system as a transhumanist, they believe that they are gods themselves. They believe they have the genetic right to alter or modify their own DNA, and they believe they have the right to genetically alter or modify other people's DNA on a planetary level. They believe that because they can do it, they should. And the word transhumanist simply means they believe that they can use man's science, man's technology, man's genetic science. They believe that they can use man's scientific knowledge and technological knowledge and recreate the human race by creating an entirely new type of DNA, which will allow man to become godlike. I mean, that's their goal. It's in all their books. This is not some conspiracy theory garbage. It's in all their textbooks and their research and their publications. Their goal is to genetically modify men and women all over planet Earth so that mankind can take the next evolutionary step into godhood. So they believe that they have a mandate to use science and technology to modify and enhance human DNA, to even grant mankind some kind of artificial immortality by transforming the DNA of mankind. So it appears we're stepping over the exact same line of an egregious violation of the commandments of God by doing exactly what God judged the world through the flood of Noah. God judged the world and the animal kingdom and the fish and the birds and all the men and women living on planet Earth except those that went onto the ark. God judged them, and he judged their corrupted DNA by wiping them out in a flood. And what caused God to wipe them out in a flood of judgment was their transgression. They broke the commandment of God not to mate, for mankind not to mate with non-human beings. Because that, see, you say, why is God so hung up on that? God's hung up on that because God is love. God's intention and desire for every man and woman, because God is love, is to save every man and woman, to give every man and woman eternal life, immortality, to live with God forever and ever in heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. That is God's ultimate desire and plan for mankind. But if mankind, in its rebellion against God, and mankind is doing exactly right now what the serpent of old, indwelt by Lucifer, did to Adam and Eve. He tempted Adam and Eve by saying, if you eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, you're not going to die. You will become like gods, knowing good and evil. So the seduction, the lie that the devil used through the serpent of old, was to seduce Adam and Eve and mankind into becoming like gods. And that's the goal of transhumanism, is to transform men and women into gods by transforming and altering their DNA. Okay, where else does this take us? Because this takes us into some very, very heavy places. The global reset has multiple purposes. It's not just a couple of purposes. It has multiple purposes. The global reset is what it is. It's a deliberate annihilation of mankind in mankind's present form and all of mankind's governmental, societal, religious, educational systems are all, in a sense, nullified. And they want to create, they used to call it a new world order, but they've changed it to the global reset. And the global reset is a cashless society, a one world economic system, a one world government, and a one world religion that will be ruled by a kind of genetic dictatorship. And let's look at that. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We're talking about the transformation of human DNA into non-human or transhuman DNA. Now, this COVID crisis, remember, we're dealing with the most powerful international banking families in the world. They are the 12 families that essentially own and control this world. And they are, many of them, are Luciferians. And they operate according to Luciferian principles that were passed on from empire to empire and kingdom to kingdom. And it originated in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And so their maxim, their operating instructions, is order out of chaos. Order out of chaos. So whenever you see chaos, and we see right now the entire planet and our nation reeling in chaos, chaos is a strategic mechanism, also known as crisis, as in the term manufactured crisis, that allows the elite to function as change agents and bring radical transformation to the world, mankind, and society. But they have to do it under the pretense of a crisis or chaos. Therefore, the occultic term for that is order out of chaos, or new world order out of chaos. So the COVID crisis has given permission to government entities, small and great. It's given permission to society, government, institutions, military, media, the medical establishment, and far more. The COVID crisis has allowed a form of medical fascism to move throughout our nation and world. Draconian laws, dictatorial laws, totalitarian laws that would never, ever have ever been allowed to be passed into law because of our Bill of Rights and Constitution are now being passed into law right and left illegally through the COVID crisis or the COVID chaos. So, for example, martial law. Martial law is when the President of the United States or other very certain, very high up officials in the government, if certain disastrous and life-threatening dangers emerge that threaten the existence, for example, of the United States of America, in such a state of emergency, and the pandemic would qualify in some respects for such a state of emergency, in a state of emergency, they can pass all kinds of laws that are considered martial law. And martial law essentially is when the military controls every aspect of your life. And people need to really be very sober-minded and serious about medical martial law, which is just martial law coming through the back door. Remember, in certain events that are categorized by crisis and chaos, the president and other high-level leaders are allowed to declare a state of emergency or a state of martial law. That is when the military takes over everything. The local police force is under the military, media under the military, roads, transportation under the military, all businesses, corporations, and economics under the military, law enforcement under the military, churches under the military, all of society legally. American society can legally pass from being a once free nation with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to safeguard us and protect our rights. We can literally, with a snap of somebody's fingers, we can lose all our freedoms overnight, and we can wake up into a full-blown totalitarian government ruled by the military and not by the normal processes of law. You see, we as Americans are spoiled and kind of numb to reality because we've taken for granted all the legal protections that we've had that were passed on down by our founding fathers, like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the freedom of the right of assembly, the right to bear arms, and on and on and on and on. In a state of martial law, all those freedoms that protect us are wiped out, and we live under a dictatorship. You need to think about that. Because the problem, and I discussed this problem with some very high-level generals. In fact, I discussed this with General Jerry Boykin, who was the head of Delta Force, and he also was the commanding general brought in during the Black Hawk Down incident that was made into a major motion picture. And I asked him about martial law, et cetera, et cetera. And he was quite forthcoming with me and said that many people high up in the military, such as himself, many generals that he knew personally, were highly concerned about the way things were moving in our society because, and this was the critical question, if a state of emergency is declared for whatever reason, there's no more due process. There's no more, you know, you've got a constitution and a bill of rights and rights to protect you. That all goes out the window. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, okay? But I am saying that once you throw out your constitution and bill of rights out the window, And once you allow a totalitarian regime to take over, even if it seems to be justified because of the emergency, they can, under martial law, and nobody debates it, it's a command. They can send people into camps. You can call them concentration camps, re-education camps, whatever you want to call them. They're camps to confine people. Now, this is why it's so critical that people vote for leaders of integrity. If you think you can vote for a leader with no integrity, and then when that leader becomes president and they get the power to bring in martial law, what kind of martial law do you think we're going to be ruled under if the person that's running things has no integrity, or worse yet, is an evil person? This is a scenario you need to consider. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you need to soberly consider it. You know, whenever a totalitarian regime rises, like Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany, like Communist Russia, like Chairman Mao in Communist China, or whatever, they will often demonize or target a particular segment of their population. And they will persecute or target a segment of their population based on race, based on religious beliefs, based on political beliefs, based on any number of things. And so, if you had the wrong people in power, and they decided that despite all the backlash and despite all the proven controversy and very serious questions that are being asked regarding COVID and the vaccination, all somebody high up in power needs to do is declare a state of emergency, declare a state of martial law, and that official in the United States has suspended the Constitution, and he could, or she could, capture, arrest every citizen who chose not to get the COVID vaccination. And on that basis alone, they could just arbitrarily put those people who refused to get the COVID vaccination into camps. Now, the problem with that is once you allow the boogeyman out of the closet and martial law is declared, we're so used to having rights and protections and accountability of our elected officials, et cetera, et cetera. We're so used to it. And quite frankly, if God is going to hold us accountable for things, and he is going to hold us accountable for things, one of the primary things he will hold us accountable for is this. God is going to say to us, his people, I blessed you with a nation of freedom. I blessed you with freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. I blessed you with all these rights and freedoms, but you squandered what I blessed you with. You didn't pay attention. You were apathetic. You were cowardly. You didn't protect those rights. You didn't hold your elected representatives accountable. And through your apathy, you allowed a totalitarian government to rise in power. Now, I never intended for my people to be sent into captivity and thrown into concentration camps, and perhaps worse. That was not my intention, the Lord is going to say. But I gave you free will, and you chose to surrender, to let go of everything I gave you. And now, because of your choice, the American dream is an American nightmare. Now, I'm going to say this calmly. I am not threatening that this is going to happen. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm simply raising the question, because others have, other legal experts have. I don't even consider myself a legal expert, but legal experts, constitutional attorneys, have raised this question. And it's something that God's people are supposed to be proactive about. So right now, at this second, wherever you are on planet Earth, wherever you are in the United States of America, you and I do not have the right to sinfully indulge in pessimism, unbelief, fatalism, defeatism, retreatism. All of that is repulsive to God. You know, I've said this before, and I need to say it again. I've heard lots of sermons, but I have never, and this is not a way of patting myself on the back, but it's true, so I'm going to talk about it because it is true. With the exception of myself and the ministry I'm involved in, where I have preached numerous sermons on the sin of cowardice, the sin of being a coward. But I have never, ever, ever heard any pastor anywhere, either live, TV, radio, or whatever, I have never heard a pastor, and I have never heard Christians preach or teach on one of the primary sins in the Bible, which is the sin of cowardice. Now, you know, there's lots of sins. And you read the book of Revelation, there's lots of sins where it says, if you're committing these sins, you can't get into heaven. But the number one sin that God places in the book of Revelation, the number one sin, is the sin of cowardice. It's the sin of being a coward. And I believe God will hold every Christian and every Christian leader and church and denomination accountable for the cowardice and cowardly ways we've indulged in and allowed ourselves to live in. God's going to hold us accountable because, you see, cowardice is essentially giving the devil and the principalities and powers the right and authority to steal and dominate, destroy, and control our nation. And let me say that again. When people who call themselves Christians and Christian leaders and pastors and denominations, etc., when Christians allow themselves to commit flagrantly the sin of cowardice, the sin of being a coward, what they are in effect doing is giving the devil and the demonic powers the license and the permission to totally destroy our nation, totally destroy our society, totally destroy our church. Because when cowardice is released among God's people, it produces a paralyzing force which immobilizes God's people in the spiritual battle. And when God's people are immobilized in the spiritual battle, they can be taken down easily, easily. And that's what has been happening in the United States for the last 80 years, incrementally. Okay. The globalist elite, they are consistent with their belief principles. They're consistent. And they have planned this global reset or this new world order which is a transhumanist global reset. And currently, they're using the COVID crisis, the vaccination, the technology that goes along with it, to create a kind of pseudo-state of what some people are labeling as medical martial law. So you have governors of major states of the United States who are essentially mandating martial law, but it's concealed because it's like medical martial law. So you are confined to stay in your house, your condo, your apartment, and you're only allowed to leave your house, condo, or apartment to get food or to get medical supplies or whatever at a pharmacy. You're not, if you have not gotten the vaccination, you are quarantined. You are confined to your house, condo, or apartment by law. Now, it depends on the choice of the governors of each of these states, but potentially they could enforce it with the military, and potentially, in a worst-case scenario, they could arrest anyone who leaves their home, their condo, or house, and is going somewhere or doing something other than the restrictive areas of shopping for food or going to the pharmacy. Potentially, you could be arrested and thrown in a concentration camp for a violation of what is essentially a medical martial law mandate. You need to understand that. I noticed that, at least publicly, through the media was strangely silent about whether these medical martial law mandates that have been issued around the country, and I don't believe that President Biden has actually officially issued a call for martial law. It's more of a memo. So that's kind of like weird legal ground. But if the president or a governor decided to go all the way with this, he could use federal troops to quarantine, arrest, and confine anyone who didn't get the vaccination in a camp. I didn't say that to scare you. I said that to speak truth to you. I said that to speak sobriety to you. Because, quite honestly, the lying that is emanating out of the Christian culture, not to mention the mainstream media, but the lying and the deception that is being perpetuated by the Christian culture and Christian leaders, if it continues, the lying by Christian leadership to Christians has the potential of inviting a totalitarian state to replace our freedoms. There are notable Christian leaders. I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to get into that. There are notable Christian leaders and Christian leaders across the United States who have taken a position regarding vaccinations and the vaccine, and for lack of better words, they're issuing instructions to God's people. But they themselves either do not know the scientific and medical facts, or they themselves have chosen to go along with the program and ignore the medical facts and problems that potentially can arise due to the vaccine. Now, you know, that's why I don't claim to be better than anybody else. I want to make that perfectly clear. And I don't claim to be holier than thou. But the reason you hear me say over and over again, I am not a medical doctor or whatever, the disclaimer. The reason you hear me use a disclaimer is because God is going to hold me accountable for what I have said or what I have failed to say to God's people. And if I don't know what I'm talking about, if I have done no research whatsoever, and I speak to God's people out of foolishness and ignorance, then just like with the watchman on the wall, the blood of God's people is on my hand. I don't want to live with the blood of God's people on my hand. And so let me strongly exhort you as your brother in Christ that what I speak to you is only as credible as it is biblical. If I speak to you out of or away from the context of a biblical worldview, you have every right to question what I say. You need to be wary and search out the truth yourself. You cannot just take somebody's word for it just because they're a famous Christian leader or whatever. You can't do that. You need to examine the facts yourself. You need to read both sides of the story and then pray and make your own decision. But you can't turn your mind over and let other people make the decision for you. It could cost you your life and your freedom and the freedom of our nation. Now, this is critical. This global reset, and now we have the term the multiverse. The multiverse is nothing more than the acceleration and the technological expansion of the artificial matrix world that we have already erected largely around us through the internet and social media technology. The multiverse is a quantum acceleration of the matrix and the world of cyberspace. So in the current world of cyberspace that we interface with, we're always kind of on the outside looking in. We're playing with, you know, different social media, video, whatever. But in the multiverse, we're no longer looking in from the outside. In the multiverse, we then, because of new technology, we then step right into the middle of a total virtual world, a total artificial reality. And so the multiverse is when we make the transition from interfacing from the outside looking in with social media technology and the internet. The multiverse is when we actually step into that artificial reality world. And when we step into that artificial reality world, that is also part of the vision of the transhumanists. Because the artificial reality world that we're not just looking at, we've now entered, we've now stepped into the multiverse. The multiverse is a counterfeit of God's creation or God's reality or God's world. And in the multiverse, anything will go. So you will step into a world where you will be, based on your choice, experimenting with, participating in, living in. You will be inside of a totally godless reality that is essentially controlled by Satan, because Satan's the god of this world. And I want to give you a heads up. There are things that you could probably imagine that will be readily available to anyone who chooses to step into the artificial reality of the multiverse.
And there are going to be millions of people who are indulging in and committing and involved in and participating in the most horrific moral crimes imaginable. And it's no longer fantasy, because you're no longer on the outside looking in. You have now crossed over the line. You have chosen to step right into the world of Satan's dominion. And there's no Ten Commandments in the multiverse. There's no God in the multiverse. He's censored out. This is a satanically controlled world and a satanically controlled reality. So you think, for example, this is just one issue, you think of the absolute hideousness and the absolute horrors of what goes on with human sex trafficking. Now, all of a sudden, millions of people, maybe tens of millions of people, only God knows, they will now be able to step into a multiverse. They'll be able to step into a virtual world and live out and experience and do the most horrific things regarding human sex trafficking and little children, etc. Because this multiverse is a godless world. And so what you have to understand with all of these technologies and genetics and DNA, etc., the guiding force is incredible wealth and power being driven by men and women who are Luciferians in many respects, and who are servants of Satan and Lucifer. And so they want to recreate man in their image, not God. They want to destroy men and women in the image of God, and recreate men and women in the image of Lucifer and Lucifer's principles and Lucifer's vision for this world. What is the New World Order? The global reset of the New World Order is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God. It is a totally godless, demonic, satanic world where the law of God does not exist. God is not in that world. And it's a world where anything goes, no matter how immoral, cruel, perverse, satanic, and demonic. Anything goes. It's just completely wide open. And they want to transform our planet like that, our world like that, our nation like that. But their ultimate prize, this is what they lust for. You got to remember the driving lust of Satan, the driving lust of all those men and women who follow Satan is not sexual lust or money lust or power lust. Their ultimate lust is their insatiable desire to be God. They want to be gods. That's the great sin of Satan. He led a rebellion. He is leading a rebellion of one third of the angels because he wants to sit on the throne room or the throne of God, and he wants to be God. He wants to rule everything like God. And so those that are Luciferians, everything they're doing in their technology, their science, their genetics, their DNA, is to reform the world and society and nations and the planet into Satan's vision for Earth and mankind, etc., etc. That's a sobering, sobering thought. And so the Great Reset is simply a strategy where the globalist elite, who are largely Luciferians, are using the crisis of the vaccination and the vaccine. They're using the economic crisis order out of chaos, manufactured crisis. They're using all of those things to radically and rapidly transform this present world into a full-blown satanic world, totally birthed out of the vision of Satan. And it is going to be so horrific. You know, remember what history showed us about Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and Nazi Germany and the Holocaust. Remember those pictures and news accounts in your mind. Remember what really happened in communist Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. Remember what happened in the communist Chinese Revolution under Chairman Mao. There's no God. It's total cruelty, total dictatorship, total censorship, total brutality, total brutality. No restraint on evil whatsoever. Those are just postcards from hell. Those pictures, those images that came from Nazi Germany and other places, those are just momentary postcards from hell. They are nothing compared to the unimaginable magnitude and velocity of Satan's fury, Satan's plans, Satan's dominion, completely and unrestrained, released upon mankind and the servants of Lucifer, who will do anything because they have no restraint. So they will take God's DNA and they will pervert it and twist it, and they will do the unspeakable with it. Maybe you've seen some of the pictures of the unspeakable, of how they've played with human DNA and animal DNA. These are things that we have a choice. We can show up on the spiritual battlefield. There still exists the opportunity to turn this back and turn the tide of this siege of evil. There is still a window of opportunity to turn around the tide of the siege of evil. We must remember that. And we must remember the words of the philosopher. I believe it was Edmund Burke who said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." So our mandate is to become aware, to become informed, to become educated, and to do everything that we can do to turn it around. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. And you and I must seize the time. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.